Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Happiest Hour podcast. I'm your host, Gina Medlin. Tonight, I sit down with my producer, Nick, again, and we talk about some of our favorite news stories from this week. We have a short one for you this week. Don't get used to it, but we are glad that you joined us.
Kombucha. I didn't know they made alcoholic kombucha.
Technically,
kombucha.
Technically, all kombucha has, like, it's all fermented. So if you get it normal, then it's alcoholic. Like, the Whole Foods in Asheville sells it normal, and you have to present your ID at the front to purchase it.
Interesting.
I love the Whole Foods in Asheville. It's so weird. Okay, should I get started?
Yeah, let's do this.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Happiest Hour podcast. I am here with my producer, Nick.
And and your host. I haven't even been drinking yet. Why am I?
Well, it's still residual from yesterday.
Oh, man, that was a long day yesterday.
I am your host, Gina Medlin. I got you.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Well, we've learned a lot this week regarding podcast stuff.
Oh, whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I feel like doing this podcast has been a relearning of how little I have control over.
Yes. Yes.
So this, hands down. Yeah, this week it's been a lot of, that too. Okay.
All right.
That's cool.
Look, there's something else. Okay. We're just going to roll with it.
Yes. So everyone listening, man, just pray, send good vibes, thoughts, man, whatever you do. Send it up there or out there and hope that we have our audio from tonight. But I mean, I guess if we don't, you're never going to hear this. So,
yeah, I think we're good. I hope. I think it's just going to take one of those new computers, and I should definitely be okay. But
yeah, Nick's done a lot of shopping for the podcast.
Whew. Kind of like,
I mean,
it,
that was kind of lesson number one, right? Like, don't buy the cheap stuff off Amazon like Gina does.
Well, I mean, we did, but we just couldn't make it work for what we needed it, for the purposes we needed it.
Sure.
Standalone, great, awesome. But
like, if you want to record something,
like if you're recording
onto GarageBand on your laptop, then we've got a mic for you.
Yes. And it's USB.
You can take it anywhere.
You can take it anywhere. You don't need XLR cables.
You want to set up a studio in the airport? We got you. We'll start renting it out this week.
Ambient noises at the airport. That's what I would just go around taping. Ambient noises.
B-roll.
Yep.
We got that B-roll.
B-roll.
Oh, man. Well, I got my first dose of the COVID vaccine today.
You did? Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
Which one did you go with?
Pfizer. It wasn't really a choice. Oh, okay. I got emailed that I was able to make an appointment. I don't know why, but...
You qualified.
I guess I qualified, or they have extras or something. And they emailed me, and they're like, hey, set up an appointment. So I did, and it's for Pfizer.
Cool.
But I tell you what, hospitals and medical centers are really hard to navigate. Have you ever noticed this?
Every hallway is the same... design, color. I mean, maybe different floors have different colors, but 9 times out of 10, the entire hospital looks the exact same.
Nick, they had stickers on the floor to navigate me to where I needed to go, and I still went the wrong way at one point. It's tough. I don't understand why they have to be so hard to navigate.
I don't know. I try not to spend too much time in hospitals.
I mean, same, but when the occasion arises, they don't make it easy.
No. And the VA hospital, the one here in Nashville, is not fun.
Well, props to all of the nurses and doctors for being able to navigate it, and also for being rock stars for all the other reasons, like taking care of us all of the time, especially during all of this pandemic.
The 1 year that things shut down for Nashville.
I know. I know.
It's been the 1 year.
1 year, we had the tornado, mm-hmm. and then
2 weeks later,
pandemic. It was crazy. It's been a wild year.
Has been a wild year.
I feel like the energy is shifting, though.
Oh yeah,
people are starting 100%. To get vaccinated, or they just never
they actually
cared.
they believe the warnings that are now on their phone saying, "Hey, thunderstorms are rolling through. You should probably take shelter." I feel like people are taking those.
Yeah,
a little more cautiously.
Another question for you. I live in a condo.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure the best place for me to go in the case of a tornado. Hopefully this never happens. So like the hallway?
Do you have a stairwell?
Well, but it's not in the center. It's on the two far ends. And by the time it takes me to round up my dog and get to the stairs, I'm done already.
Yeah.
Well, then tornado is there.
Probably the hallway.
Okay.
Probably the hallway. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, if it would have gone through where I lived, I'd be gone. There was no safe haven in that old apartment building that had four units in it in the middle of the neighborhood.
Oh.
Like, yeah, there was made like in the late 70s.
What part of town was
Edge Hill?
It? Okay. It's kind of South Nashville. I feel like once you, even if you're just close to Green Hills and Bellmead, you're like protected by the powers that be, i.e., the money.
Yes.
In those neighborhoods. It like kind of, it goes from Bellmead through Green Hills all the way down to like kind of downtown. But if you're on the north side of downtown or east side of downtown, yeah. You're.
Well, we're going to have to fact check this, but I think the last tornado Nashville had, it took the same exact path.
Yes.
Or about the same path.
Yeah, I think it was very, very similar.
So,
because 5 points in East Nashville got wrecked both times.
Man. Well,
but hey,
don't move to 5 points.
It was a rough week, but I never loved Nashville more than I did that week because of how the people came together.
Oh, yeah.
And probably all gave each other COVID, but we didn't know. We were just serving each other and like chopping down trees and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were people that they were turning away because they had too many people.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah, which I
thought
was a great light in the midst of something that was really tough to process and
yeah.
deal with.
I agree. It was great. I was a fan.
Fan of the Volunteers.
I mean, the videos, the response on Facebook, Twitter. I mean, we had Nashville Strong t-shirts that were being sold, and I have friends and family in Ohio that were buying these t-shirts in North Carolina. Yes, in Columbus, Ohio, not Columbus, Indiana. But they were buying the t-shirts just so they could help put something towards a fund that was going to end up helping somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So great.
That was really cool. Well, guys, we promised that we're going to have guests back next week.
Yes. And that Nick doesn't screw up the audio or lose the audio or his computer decides to chuck the audio and then make like the ring mute. It's not music. It's just sounds.
Yeah, no, we're all good vibes from Ooh. Here on out, Nick. There are going to be no audio issues. We're going to have a guest starting next week and it's going to be wonderful. But for now, we are just going to leave you with the good news because we didn't want to have 2 weeks where we weren't able to connect with you guys.
Yeah.
So we wanted to go ahead and talk about some of these stories that we found this week that we thought were pretty awesome. So, all right, Nick. So the first one, I really want to call you Nikki J now because your new middle name's James and you won't tell me what your real one is, but I'm like, he sounds like a female contestant on The Bachelor as Nikki J. What are your feelings about it?
About The Bachelor?
No, about Nikki J. we can talk about The Bachelor if you want.
I don't think I've actually ever watched The Bachelor.
Really?
No, or The Bachelorette.
Okay. What about Bachelor in Paradise?
No. I don't watch any of that. Like I just kind of get stuck in my own fantasy nerd bubble and documentaries and then that's probably about it.
Okay, well, any good documentaries that you've watched lately?
Not lately.
Okay.
I mean, there's been a couple ones where the girlfriend will be watching one when I get home from work, and I'll catch the tail end of it. The Scientology one on Netflix is insane.
The one with, what's her name?
It's not T. Leone. T. Leone is Madam Secretary.
No.
King of Queens.
Yeah, the girl from, what is her name? I'm going to look it up so that we don't have to fact check this. Leah Remini.
Yeah.
We're still probably going to have to fact check that because I don't know if I just pronounced that right.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's fine. Okay, yeah. But anyways, Nicki J?
Nicki J sounds like a rapper. I could do that.
Okay.
I think Nicholas James is going to be my pen name when I write a book.
Yes.
With all the fabulous stories that I have accumulated over the past.
Love it.
The past, like, 15
years. I will
years.
Write the foreword.
I love it. I love it. Maybe we just do this together.
I love collaboration, obviously. Yeah.
What's a collaboration again?
And, you know, we haven't necessarily done too great of a job so far.
Hey, it's a learning experience.
It is a learning experience, and we've already learned a ton. It's going to be great. However, I think with this experience under our belts, we could definitely write a series of short stories. Is that what you were 100%. Saying? Short stories?
Yeah. Novella, short story.
One of our guests is a friend of mine who has put out 2 or 3 books now of short stories. So
really?
This would be a good thing to talk with her about. We can get all of the advice that we need to be able to write our short stories.
I like it.
Gina and Nicki J.
Nicki J.
Love it. All right. Good news from this week. Okay. So the first story is about climate change. And less about climate change and more about helping the planet. So people are finding ways to create new types of jet fuel that will lower emissions. So airlines right now are kind of facing a big dilemma because they have said that they're going to dramatically decrease emissions by like 50% or something.
Are they going to stop flying?
However, more people are expected to travel than ever before by plane. So they've been trying to figure out how they're going to do that, and they found a way to break down food waste into a paraffin that can be used as jet fuel. So most food waste, literally just learned this. This is not me being brilliant or having paid attention in high school. Most food waste is broken down as methane, but they've discovered a way to break this waste down into paraffin that can then be used as jet fuel.
That's some Back to the Future stuff right there. I'm telling you, that's Back to the Future. That's the end of Back to the Future Part 1.
So you're saying that Back to the Future predicted this event. If we had paid more attention to Back to the Future, this conversation would have happened 20 years ago.
They use it for car fuel, though.
He puts it in a pop can. It's translatable, right?
Banana peel. Well, no, because gasoline is different from jet fuel.
But doesn't the car fly?
Technically, yes. The car does fly.
So,
yes.
I mean,
flying cars are next.
Honestly, I'm not sure why that's not a thing yet. According to the Jetsons, that should have been a thing
21 years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. And, well, last week we talked about Xenon Girl of the 21st century, but you guys didn't get to have that conversation with us. So I'm going to bring it up again. I feel like Xenon Girl of the 21st century also set our expectations so high.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm just disappointed.
Because you still have to sneeze and you're not on a space station?
Yes.
Wasn't that her thing? Like sneezing?
Both of those things. Yes, because when she gets banished to Earth.
Banished.
She.
Earth is the worst place in the world.
Apparently.
Well, actually,
it is, and
it
we
is
knew
the
that.
Worst world.
Yeah.
The worst world, I guess.
Well, I mean, the only livable world that we know about, there's probably a great planet out there that people are surviving and
thriving,
doing amazing things. Xenon Girl of the 21st century is true, but you know, she gets banished to Earth.
Yep.
And she steps off the plane, and like the first thing that she does is sneeze. So therefore, if I lived on a space station, I would never sneeze. And I have really bad allergies. So, yeah, I would be up for going to space to try it out.
I wonder if you can, if you sneeze in the International Space Station. I mean, technically, they're doing science experiments, and people are living up there for an extended amount of time. I wonder if anyone has ever asked that question.
I don't know, but I think that we should Google that and include that in our fact check for next week.
I love that.
Is there anyone that we can reach out to? Is that something? Can we just, like, contact NASA and be like, yo, do your science people sneeze in space?
I think we can call them astronauts.
Oh, yeah.
Do your astronauts sneeze in space? I don't know.
All right. Add to the to-do list. Submit contact form to NASA.
Excuse me. Do you guys sneeze?
I mean, we did post about them on Instagram this week, so I feel like we've got some cred.
We got some traction.
Yeah, we've got some credibility there. And I think maybe like 5 people liked it.
Hey, that's good. That's 5 people that didn't like it before.
Exactly. Exactly my sentiment. All right, the next story, very similar to the one we just talked about. Seville, Spain, had to look that up earlier so that I didn't mess it up and then include it in the fact check later, is turning leftover oranges into electricity. So apparently in Seville, Spain, they have all of these oranges during the winter months just like fall to the ground, and they're just in the way and actually kind of a problem.
Hmm.
So they decided, why don't we do something about this? And they are, I think the first like experiment of it is to use 35 tons of these oranges.
Did you say 35 tons?
Yes. And here it is right here, so we do not have to fact check it later. The initial scheme will use 35 tons of fruit to generate clean energy to run one of the city's water purification plants.
That's cool.
And this does get turned into methane. Guys, I did not pay attention in chemistry, so I cannot tell you how that happens. Something about fermentation and
decomposing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool science stuff. Bill Nye could probably tell us about that. I should have watched more of him growing up. But I think that's a... I mean, these are two huge moves for our planet.
I mean, we're definitely getting there. Clean energy. Or cleaner energy for jet fuels. Or for jet fuel. I don't know why I added an S on there. But so you have jet fuel from... From regular food. And then oranges are turning things into electricity and also creating methane gas.
Well, they use... It turns into methane gas, and that's how it produces the electricity. So they're using that methane gas to power the purification plants. But also, I'm like, I'd be walking down the street with a bag, picking up these oranges and taking them home. Then you don't ever have to go to the farmer's market. It's just there. Why is that not a thing? Maybe they have an aversion to oranges because they're so popular or so available.
Maybe. I don't know how that works.
How do you feel about oranges?
I love oranges. Any time of the year. Doesn't matter. I love a good orange. Full of vitamin C, calcium.
You know, so I don't eat oranges every day, but I do take an emergency every day, and it's basically the same thing. So I think that I can say with confidence that I eat an orange every day. I love
an orange on steroids that's highly concentrated, yes.
Yes, and yeah. Fizzy.
In powder form.
Fizzy. I love it. It's like a little treat.
I have a buddy that is a songwriter here in town, and his warm-up drink before he went on stage was a Jack and water, and he would put an emergency in there, and he would stir it.
Seems counterproductive.
Well, he needed the liquid courage to get on stage. I don't think he does this anymore. I don't think he, because now he's used to it. I think this is when he first started. But yeah, Jack Daniels for the liquid courage, and then all the vitamins for when he's singing to kind of help him out.
Yeah,
and Jack Daniels is sweeter, so I guess that's, you know, that helps.
Yeah, I do credit emergency, melatonin, and tequila for keeping me from getting COVID during this pandemic. So maybe the emergency plus the Jack Daniels was just way ahead of his time.
Maybe. He was like, I'm going to get ready for a pandemic that may or may not happen in however long he's been.
10 years.
Yeah.
Brilliant guy. Okay, this last story is very interesting, and I kind of love Stockton, California, tried a UBI experiment. So a universal basic income experiment, which was Martin Luther King Jr.'s, like, one of his big things was giving citizens a universal basic income to help fight poverty. There are a lot of critics to a universal basic income, but Stockton tried it out. They gave 125 people in the city monthly payments of $500 for 2 years. These are kind of some of the high-level things.
Yeah.
At the start of the project, 28% of the recipients were in full-time work. That rose to 40% a year later. Mental health improved. Oh, this last one's not good. I don't know why I was going to say this. I'm just going to say it anyways. It still has detractors, right? People who were saying that it's not actually valuable. But even so, I mean, there's credit to this experiment, right? I mean, it's something that maybe other cities that have low-income population should give a try.
I don't know how that would work. I mean, I'm obviously not an economist or anything like that, so...
You're not?
I mean, maybe in a different life?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that it's definitely something that we should experiment with and see how it works. It worked for Stockton. Seoul, South Korea, or not Seoul, but a city right outside of South Korea is kind of trying it in a different way. They have like a special currency set up that, and it distributes quarterly, and they can only use it at specific places in the city that accept it. But I mean, you have some big points here. Employment rose, so it wasn't like people were taking this money and then just sitting on their booties on the couch watching Netflix, which is, by the way, what I do. And I work full time and I don't have a universal basic income, so I don't think we should judge them
for
watching Netflix. But that's not what they were doing. They were getting jobs. They were applying for stuff. They were out there hustling. Mental health improved. Anxiety and depression, which is probably largely around where's our next meal coming from?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Improved. And something that they mentioned was people were able to kind of plan for the future more or make long-term choices with the money that they were receiving. So people who they were qualified to get their real estate license, never officially did it because they couldn't pay for the license. So they got this money, they were able to get their real estate license. Oh, there's another job and someone pouring more into the community. Or people were able to like apply for training programs or internships and, you know, all of these different things because they were able to relax a little bit on the provision side.
That's cool. See, I thought it would have gone the complete opposite.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are totally against it would assume that.
Yeah. But, I mean, it could just be, how did they choose the participants? You know, did they have jobs before and they just recently lost it and they just needed a good foothold to get that boost? I mean, there's definitely outside factors in there because in a city like Nashville, that's a major population.
Yeah.
We have a lot of low-income housing here.
Yeah, so. I'm not sure how they picked the 125 participants.
I mean, 125 is not a lot of people.
No, I think we definitely need to try it with more people. With more cities, bigger sample sizes, see what's going on, and try it. I mean, it could be a great idea.
Yeah.
It could be a great way to lift people in poverty out of poverty. I mean, that's a huge thing, you know, and that would benefit everyone. And, you know, like we've mentioned so many times, we're all in this together. So it would at least be worth some trying out, right?
Yeah. I think trying it would be beneficial, but I don't know because then you have to wait on the data. I mean, is it going to work in a bigger population? Yeah, there's a lot of outside factors. But I mean, you just said it was 2 years?
2 years.
2 years? I mean, that's 2 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they made a note to emphasize where the spending went, and the majority of it was for food. So yeah. Grocery stores, stuff like that. And then the second biggest spend were supermarkets or non-food purchases at supermarkets, large stores, and wholesale outlets. And then transportation costs and utility payments. They said alcohol and tobacco accounted for less than 1% of the spending.
Wow.
So, I mean, people were definitely using it for the reason. I mean, they were using it to provide for themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Less than 1%.
Provide for their families.
Wow.
So I think this is something to be celebrated for sure. Even if it's not something that we think could.
So did they stop the payments?
I think so. Yeah.
So does that mean, can we go back 2 years after we stopped paying and see where those people are at? Because that's just more data you need to say, did it work long term with this short investment?
That's actually a good question. We're going to have to look that up, I think, because I'm not sure if they stopped the spending or not.
Huh.
Or stopped the payments. However, we know that at least for 2 years, 125 people's lives were made better.
Yeah.
And to me, that is some good news.
That's a move in the right direction.
Yep. All right, everyone, thank you so much for joining us this week's Happiest Hour podcast. We are so glad that you were able to join us and experience this good news with us.
All right, guys. Cheers.